You hear people talk about not knowing what the reason. You ever hear anybody say, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't even know what the reason for me being born is. Have you ever felt that way? I have a few times. You know, you feel whatever the circumstances are surrounding you're feeling that way. You feel like you're irrelevant or that what you do has no merit or meaning. That you being alive, nobody really even cares. They wouldn't notice if you were gone. You've heard all the things that people say, and it's really a sad state of affairs because a lot of people that don't know the Lord, it ends in the worst kind of way you can think. And that's where it begins, and it's the voice in their head from the devil that tells them there's no reason or purpose for your life. There's no purpose for you. But I want to tell you something. God never created a single thing ever since he started creating stuff that didn't have a purpose.
That's right.
Even the bugs that we hate so bad outside have some kind of purpose. Now, I got to wonder sometimes just what purpose a rattlesnake serves or a black widow spider or a brown recluse spider or any other kind of spider. But skeeters. Chiggers? Now, I don't know about chiggers.
That shakes my faith.
That I know. It makes me sort of step back. But you got to exercise a little bit of faith there, maybe a whole lot. But he never did create anything in this world that didn't have a purpose.
That's right.
I mean, if things that are in nature that are created that we look at and they seem like an absolute mistake, yet you know that he created them for a reason, then why on earth do you think that he would let you be created? And I mean anybody, whether you were meant to be or whether you were, you know, a result of something horrible that happened to someone or whatever the case. What makes you think that he would allow you to become into existence and you not have a purpose? That's the atrocity and the sad thing about all the abortion that takes place. You know, they justify it by it being an unwanted pregnancy or, you know, this. I mean, by definition, listen to how ugly that sounds. Unwanted. And millions of children have been murdered that God had a purpose for.
Yep.
And that purpose never fulfilled. Now, as people, as human beings, we conflate purpose with like why you were born, like what you're supposed to accomplish while you're here. But it's not the same thing. There's a lot of people, and the ones that you know of from history that accomplished something really great, that are held in high regard now as having done something so worthwhile with their life. By their contemporaries, most of the time while they were alive, most people didn't even know who they were. And the ones that did thought they were losers. And a lot of them died thinking that they had done nothing. They'd accomplished nothing with their life. But they fulfilled the purpose God had for them, and that's why the memory of the just is blessed. Because they weren't worried about, like the pharaohs that would create, you know, or the heathen, you know, that would acquire and accomplish all this stuff in their life, and when they died, they'd bury it all with them, because that was the culmination of their purpose in this life, was what they could gather together to themselves. That's why when they died, they'd bury their wives and their horses and everything else with them, alive, literally. Because in their eyes, that was what they were here for. And they accomplished it. Now they get to keep it. But I want to talk about this morning the difference between purpose versus reason. The word reason. I'm not talking about like, you know, I want to reason with you. No, like the reason you were here, you're here, versus the purpose why you're here. Because it's two different things. Let's read in Revelation chapter 2, starting verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Now he said, I know what you are. I know all these things you've done, and they're right. And I'm proud of that for you, but nevertheless, verse 4, I have somewhat against you, thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. This church at Ephesus he's talking to here had done all these things the right. They'd done the right thing. But the problem was, is that they had become reasons of why they do the things they do instead of the purpose. He said, go back. You need to go back and remember where thou art fallen, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. Well, what does he mean by the first works? I mean, when Peter walked with God, when he walked with Jesus here on this earth, he was a disciple. Jesus looked at him one time and said, on this rock, Peter, I'll build my church. Gates of hell shall not prevail against. He was talking about Peter and what he was to be, what his purpose was. But Peter did not understand because he wasn't converted yet. Right. And for Peter, it wasn't a purpose yet. It was just the reasons why we're following him around. I mean, he's bringing in a new kingdom. And he keeps saying this kingdom of God, but he's, you know, the Messiah. So, you know, the reason I'm following him is because he's the Messiah. And Jesus was trying to tell him, you know, look, there's more to what I have for you in your life, for why you exist, than just to follow me around. Because this is going to end. I'm here for a purpose. And it's not, I'm not here for a reason. I'm here for a purpose. And, it, you know, purposes are to be fulfilled. The word purpose has three different connotations. But the neat thing about this word is that they all mean the same thing. And they all imply the same thing from three different directions. But in the end, they all wind up being the exact same thing. And yet at the same time, that one thing at the end of what it all means is the motivation for everything that those three things this word means. It's one implication of the word purpose is goals or intent. Okay? Like, what's the purpose of this meeting? Well, we want to accomplish this or that or the other. What is the purpose of you purchasing this piece of equipment? Well, I want to be able to do this work with it. You know, there's a purpose for the things that you do. There's something you need to understand. Everything that we do in this life, every decision we make, whether it's about who we marry or what we're going to eat today or the work you want to try to get done or accomplish this week or whatever, there's always a purpose behind it. There's a goal. And if you don't have that, then you're really just kind of existing. Mm-hmm. You got to think about, do you know anybody in your life that just every day is just like Groundhog Day? Or they just get up and they just wander aimlessly through life. They might do something tomorrow. They might not. They just live in just this moment. And they are dictated, you know, what they do is dictated by just how they feel at that very second. They are not accomplishing a purpose. They're just, well, I'll tell you where they're headed. They're headed for a place where they don't know why they exist. In that context, there is no reason for them to be here. Because there must be purpose behind the things you do. You do things, we say it, on purpose. Otherwise, what are you doing? Just existing accidentally? No. I mean, there ought to be a reason why you get up at a certain time. There ought to be a reason why there ought to be purpose behind why you want to earn a living, why you want to please God with your life, why you want to be an influence on other people, why you want to raise your kids right, why you want to be a good man or a good woman. There ought to be purpose behind that. And it carries so much more weight than just a reason. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's what we're getting at. Romans chapter 9. I got a bunch of verses to read, so I've got them labeled here. I'll just read them as we go through. Romans chapter 9 and verse 17 says, "For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." He's talking about the Pharaoh that drowned in the Red Sea. Okay, he's referring back to him and saying that even that wicked, evil man that was such a ruthless person, God raised him up for a purpose.
Right.
And it wasn't so that he could, persecute the children of Israel. Well, he raised him up for a purpose. It was so that his name might be declared throughout all the earth, that God's name. They could show his power in him by drowning him in the Red Sea along with all of his army. There was a purpose even for Pharaoh being created. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." God does everything he does for a purpose. He just don't do things because he exists. He just don't do things willy-nilly just because the mood strikes him. He does everything with a purpose, according to his own will. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 11. Actually, I want to start in verse 8. "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." This is Paul. He's trying to tell him, I know what my purpose is. I did abide by the law for all my life for all these reasons. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't enough. "And to make all men see what the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." There's a little key right there. Even Paul didn't know what his purpose was until he met Christ.
Right.
And that's the human condition that we exist within now, and always has been since the garden, is that mankind outside of Christ does not have a purpose. They don't know their purpose. They can't have a purpose that is a godly thing, that's God-inspired, that is God-ordained and God is the one who, like, God's purpose for you. You can't know that unless you know him. You don't accidentally go out here as a sinner and fulfill God's purpose for your life without him. You don't do that. You can't. You can't. Paul certainly didn't. Peter didn't. None of us can. And, the problem that I see, because, I don't know, I've been thinking a lot lately, even about our church. And, sometimes it's good to step outside of you, sort of, kind of step back, get up above it and look down and try to see the big picture of where we are, where we've been, mm-hmm. where we're going.
Yeah.
I mean, what if we sit here for 20 years and do just what we're doing right now? No more, no less. Do you feel like we will have fulfilled God's purpose for even our church, for us having church? Well, that depends on each and every one of us.
Right.
You know, you can't fulfill God's purpose for Straight Path Bible Church as a group if you're not fulfilling God's purpose for your life individually. You can't just exist for whatever reasons that you can invent in a quasi-Christian existence and fulfill God's purpose for your life just because you sit in a church. Right. It don't accidentally happen just because we all get together and have church three times a week.
No.
And I don't want this to just stagnate. I don't want our church to just, you know, just be a picture of what it could have been, or just to wither up on the vine, so to speak. But we need to understand that it depends on each one of us individually. You hear it all your life about revival and how that it starts in your own heart.
Right.
But it really does. How will you ever expect to come together as a church and God meet with us and use us to fulfill His purpose as a church if you literally, and if I literally, do not do that in my own life? If the reasons that I have for living are my own.
Right.
So I can make more money. So I can pay off all my debts. So I can have a nice truck. So I can go on a nice vacation a couple times a year. So I can see my kids grow up and be good people. And that I'm not ashamed of or embarrassed by. Or that people can look at me and my wife and say, boy, I want to be like that. They got a good relationship. They really do love each other. Well, all those things are, of course, what we want to see in our life. They're not bad. But is that why God made me? I tell her all the time. And I mean this. I mean, look, the Lord's been good to me. He's allowed me to do things in my life that I never expected to do. He's allowed me to be creative and to make a living at it. But I really sincerely don't believe that that's what God made me for.
Right.
To just stand down there at my shop and stare at the ground and make sawdust for 20 years. I don't believe that's what His purpose for my life is. Now, He's used that as a medium for me to be able to reach out into the lives of people that I never would have met before, or, you know, influence people that I never would have known any other way. And in that, you know, trying to fulfill His purpose for my life, He's used it that way as just a catalyst, really. But it ain't about me making or doing some huge work for God. It's about fulfilling the purpose that He has for my life. And if I will work on doing that, and finding His purpose. And see, that's always, to a lost man, it's a mystery. You know, what in the world is this? What did God have for me? That's always the eternal question about why do I even exist? Well, you got to know Him first. And then he'll let you know. He'll guide you into all of that. But you have to know Him. And you got to trust Him. And you got to follow Him and love Him. And do His will, not yours. And people spend a lifetime struggling with that, of just doing His will and not yours, not mine. And we've joked about it, saying it's like a unicorn trying to find God's will for my life, when really His will is for you to fulfill the purpose He created you for. And that's not a mystery, because it's in His word.
Right.
Jesus had a purpose for being born. And ours is the same purpose. He was here to introduce and further the kingdom of God.
Yeah, Peter said it, yeah.
And that's what He tried to get His disciples to understand, that was their purpose.
Yep.
And when He left and they finally got it, that's what they spent the rest of their breathing days doing. Not pursuing after their own. And I told her this morning, I said, think about all the stuff that was going on politically in their day. And how awful it was. We're griping for having to wear a mask. They were killing them.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Burning them for lights, man. And all Jesus had to really say about what to do concerning that aspect of life was, render unto Caesar what's Caesar's, unto God what's God's. You know, this earth is going to fade away real fast. The kingdom of God is what our purpose is. That's what we're here for. And you need to understand, I'm going to leave you for a little bit, but I'm going to prepare, and you need to be preparing here,
yes,
because the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Amen.
And they really believed that He was coming back, like, right away.
Yeah.
But they lived their life like he was. And they fulfilled the purpose God had for them. Why do you think the early church was so powerful? Because they were real clear on what their purpose was. And then they lived their life accordingly. Amen. And their life meant nothing. Because it was about the purpose God had for them. It didn't involve promoting their life. They were spent, just like Jesus was. He lived until they smashed him out. Then he was resurrected, see? And the same thing is for us.
Yeah, same thing.
Purpose is a goal or an intent for what's coming at the end. 1 John chapter 3. In verse 8 says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." That was what Jesus' purpose was. Would you contest that that's not, I mean, that that's what we're supposed to be doing too?
Yeah.
I mean, as a Christian, should our fight be against destroying the works of the devil? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you know? That was Jesus' purpose too. So if that was his purpose and that's supposed to be our purpose, then I need to examine his life and what all he did and maybe try to pattern my life after his. Well, ain't that what Christians are supposed to be in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And by doing that, fulfill God's purpose for your life.
Amen.
But we don't do that. We're so encumbered by the things of the world and the cares of the world. They're like the birds in the parable that come and steal it away.
Yeah.
And we don't even, we lose sight of our purpose because of a big electric bill or because of a stimulus check that ain't come in yet or because of some unexpected, you know, catastrophe like blowing a tire or the motor or the transmission going out of the truck. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
And we become discouraged and we lose focus. We lose sight of our purpose. And we start looking for all the reasons why it's just so hard to fulfill our purpose. And we get in the habit of living by our reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, or God, put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and said, "I've created you so that you can tend this garden and keep it, and so I can come and have fellowship with you." That's your purpose. Real simple. And then the devil come along and gave her all the reasons why that wouldn't really work. And it wasn't really fair. And you're being lied to. And all the reasons why you need to try to I mean, look, you can still accomplish what he wants you to do. You can still care for the garden. You can still fellowship with him. But, you know, these are all the reasons why you deserve something different than what he's offering you.
Yeah.
And when they start following their own reasons, sin and death entered into the world. And that's how it happened. So, goals and intent. That's one thing. The next thing that it means is resolve. Bear with me. I got to find my tabs. There we go. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 15 it says, "And I said..." This is Paul talking again about how he discovered what his purpose was. "I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest.'" This was Paul telling Agrippa how he knew what his purpose was. He said, "This is how it happened. This is what I was. This is all the reasons why I was what I was. This is why I did what I did. Until this day when I heard a voice speaking to me. And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose.'" To make thee a minister. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, and unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God,
that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. He said, Paul, I created you so that the Gentiles would be able to be saved. That's why I created you. That's your purpose. Mm-hmm. And he surrendered to that. And then was spent fulfilling his purpose. But he did it to the point and with the confidence that at the end he could say, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Yes. I have kept the faith. Amen. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And see, he had resolved from that day on, this is what my purpose is. And I will not. Why do you think he was able to withstand beatings and stonings and the reproach and the shipwreck and the suffering and the cold and everything he suffered? And it did not dissuade him off of his purpose. Well, because his purpose was his resolve. You need to understand, the purpose of being alive wasn't the resolve he had. No, the purpose God gave him resolve. The purpose was the resolve. Mm-hmm. The power to fulfill his purpose gave him power to resolve to suffer all that and still endure it. It wasn't some other thing he had to draw from over here so he could have the strength to fulfill this job God gave him.
Right.
Uh-uh. The purpose was the strength. His purpose was the strength that he had.
Yeah.
That's where it come from. It didn't come from some other outside source. It was the purpose that gave him the strength. Mm-hmm. It's resolve. And the last thing it is it's the end. Think about it this way. Why are we doing this? Well, because of what's coming, the kingdom of God. It's the end of this thing.
Yes.
If you watch or read anything, you know that the end is coming soon. The Lord is coming back soon, and this will be ended. And the purpose that we're here for will culminate when that happens. And then he'll hold me accountable for whether I fulfilled my purpose or not. The deeds that I've done in this body, all that, that the body that he's given me is the means by which he's provided me a way to fulfill the purpose that he's given me. So that's why your works are what's going to be tried. Because that's you fulfilling his purpose for your life or not. And did you spend all your life's effort worrying about this person or that person, or what they thought, or making money, or the cares of life, or chasing after your own lusts and disregarding God completely, or spend all your efforts and time disparaging what you knew was right and tearing down and doing all this? What'd you do? Well, we have one thing to do, and that's to fulfill his purpose. And yes, there's means by which he's provided ways for us to do that in a church where we are a body. And this one is the hand and this one is the foot and that one's the head and we all work together. But none of that works if we ain't together. And you can't be chasing after your thing over here and the rest of us fulfilling our purpose and you be a viable member and a productive part. And let me tell you something, it impairs the rest of the body.
Oh, yes.
That's why he said how pleasant and how beautiful it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Ain't that right? Mm-hmm. That how it says it? Dwell together in unity. Why? Because then you can fulfill your purpose. And then the church can fulfill the purpose that God intended for it to fulfill.
Right.
A church, I mean, think about all the churches you know about that have no effectiveness in their communities or in the lives of the people that even go there. Why? Well, because, you know, sin in the church, people following after their own life and their own reasons for living. And the purpose of coming to church is just so everybody thinks that they're a good person for coming to church. And that's the only that's the only reason. There ain't no purpose. They have no goal or intent. There's no resolve to do what's right and stick by the stuff. And let me tell you what else there ain't. There ain't no hope at the end for them. Yeah. Think about the families you know. What do you think God's purpose is for a family? Well, to raise children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to love each other like Christ loved the church. Why? Why? So you can dwell together in unity, so you can fulfill the purpose of God even in your own home, in your household. That's where it's got to begin anyway. And if it don't work there, it ain't going to work at church. It ain't going to work on your job. Everybody knows what you are and what I am. We're only joking and kidding ourselves. Sinners know if you're real or not. Why? How? By the things we do. Mm-hmm. By the effort they see us exerting on what we exerted on. By how willing we are to be spent for the kingdom of God. Or if we ain't going, nah, I ain't doing that. You know, I got a job to do. I got bills to pay. They know what we're spending, what our purpose is. And so does God. You see a family that goes through the motions for all the reasons that I've gave, but they don't fulfill the purpose of a godly family, and in the end you see their family fly all to pieces. Yep. Right. If you raise your kids going to church because of all the reasons you've been given, your kids are going to grow up and leave it because they get the right to have reasons too.
That's right.
There's no purpose that they have to fulfill because you didn't fulfill yours.
Amen.
And that's the danger of it all, is that, you know, life happens day by day, and it's like a numbness that creeps in.
Yeah.
And you think that you're doing what you're supposed to do because you go to church, and because you are involved, and because you do care about what God thinks, at least in your mind you do. But then there's this matter of fulfilling, and it all is displayed in the end. The way a thing ends. The way you end. I guess because of a lot of the things that's happened this week, it's been on my mind. How it all began and how it's ended. And it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because a life was spent. And for what purpose? Well, the way something ends, God said, is better than the day it began. The day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. Why? Because if you fulfilled your purpose, then it's coronation day. It is the apex of your earthly life. It is what you finish and present to God. And He cares about what you're going to present to Him. And it all is about how you fulfilled your purpose. You know, God didn't create anybody in this world to play basketball. I was born to play ball. I was born to drive a race car. No, you weren't.
Yeah, that's right.
You fool.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You weren't born to play music. You weren't born to... You were born to serve the Lord and fulfill His purpose for your life and further the kingdom of God. In this brief mortal life that we're given.
Yep.
Some a lot briefer than others.
Yep. Yep.
And so the way you end is that you need to understand that's what you're going to be remembered for.
Yes.
The way you end.
Amen.
Yep.
And it all hinges upon how you fulfill your purpose. In Psalms chapter 17. Verse 3, Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I'm purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. You know, you've been preaching about David for so long. He had a hard time staying focused on his purpose because of all the things that went on in his life. But in the end, he ended right, see?
Amen.
He wrote stuff like that You think he could stand before God and say that? Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing.
Yeah.
Why? He said, I'm purposed. See, that's some more of that resolve right there.
Yes.
That my mouth shall not transgress. And that plays to the way of how he ended. He said, I've made a lot of really bad choices. I've paid. And I'll pay forever. But I will not end that way.
Okay.
So, you've tried me. See, you've tried me. That's a past tense. You've tried me. But thou shalt. That's from now on. Future. Shalt find nothing.
Hey.
Why? Because I'm purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. I will not ever do this again. And he didn't.
Amen. Yes.
You can resolve.
Yes.
And say, I will never do this. I will never cheat on my wife.
Yes.
I will never blaspheme God's name again. I will never. And you can do it. But it takes some serious honesty and absolute accountability and a whole bunch of other stuff, but mainly when you get an understanding of what your purpose is, and then you're willing to obey him and do it, this is your heart's and your soul's spirit right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, everybody's heard this a lot of times, but Daniel, what? Purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Because you need to understand, when you step out of the path of God's purpose for your life, everything outside of that is defilement. That's how God sees it. Because he created me for a purpose. And if I'm not doing his purpose, then whose purpose am I doing? It ain't his. And the world likes to make you... I mean, look, since the beginning, when the devil played his lies on Eve and then Adam and then mankind, he's been doing the same thing ever since. And his whole MO is to get you to fulfill your reasons for living. And not the purpose God has for you. And so, why are we doing what we do? Why do we have church? Fast forward 20 years. Is our church still going to be here? There's going to be some people gone. I know. If we don't have any reason for doing, no purpose for having church here, other than, well, this is, you know, we got to have church somewhere. You know, I can't hang out with them people. I can't be... There's got to be more of a purpose than just those reasons.
Amen.
Or when the reason you're banking on is gone, so will the church. You know,
Amen.
If the Lord tarries, we're going to see the day. We'll have a Sunday morning like the church in Piedmont's having today.
Yeah, we will.
Where they're celebrating the life of their pastor. Then what? See the reason we come? Or is the purpose of our church going to outlive him or me? It did the early church. It outlived them because it was their purpose, not their reason.
Amen.
I mean, we need to ask ourselves that honest question. You know, am I fulfilling God's purpose for my life?